It's crunch time in Athens, and the whole world is watching.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. This Sunday is the deadline European leaders have set for themselves to come up with a grand plan to deal with the debt crisis. But this morning, the focus is in Athens, where the Greek parliament is set to vote for a final time on a package of budget cuts and tax increases that are needed for Greece to get more bailout money. Christos Michalides is a political correspondent for the Athens daily newspaper Eleftherotypia. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the controversial budget cuts passed the first hurdle yesterday, just barely in the parliament. What's the mood there in Athens today as the parliament prepares for the final votes?
Well, if we had, according to the police, about 100,000 demonstrators in the center of Athens yesterday outside parliament, it's pretty sure that today we might even have double that number. I've been speaking to many, many people out in the streets. I am with the certainty now that what people are just want is to send a message to the Europeans, to our European colleagues, saying that we are prepared to make some sacrifices, but we feel here in Greece that things have gone a bit too far.
But do the people in Athens realize that they could throw this whole grand plan that's being negotiated for the European debt crisis into trouble if they don't pass these measures?
No, they don't feel that anymore. They believe that they are in a way being blackmailed into this game, that if we do not vote and if we do not support these measures, our country will go bankrupt. People feel that the problem is European and it should be solved at a European level, and that Greece is just a small symptom of the problem.
Christos Michalides, political correspondent at the Athens daily newspaper Eleftherotypia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, now to Washington, where a Senate committee is holding a hearing today on the future of 30-year fixed mortgages. The question is, could the 30-year fixed survive if big changes are made to the government-backed mortgage lenders Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Here's Marketplace's Adrian Hill.
30-year fixed-rate mortgages let borrowers pay off their homes slowly, with payments that are the same from month to month. They're straightforward. They're vanilla. And says Walter Maloney from the Association of Realtors.
The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is the lifeblood of the housing industry.
All those exotic loans, all the rage during the housing bubble, are out of favor. Nearly all home loans offered today are long-term fixed-rate mortgages. USC professor Richard Green says there are a couple of reasons for that.
Part of it is the banks are just not that interested in doing the loans. Fannie and Freddie specialize in doing fixed-rate mortgages.
So those are the loans that are getting done. Green says there's also a demand issue.
People are just very afraid. They're looking for safety, and the longer-term mortgage is a safer mortgage.
He thinks the long-term fixed-rate mortgage is important to have as an option. Other shorter-term mortgages have value, too. But he says to improve the housing market, it's not the type of loan that matters so much as making it easier and faster to get it. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down as everyone watches Europe. London down about 0.5% right now. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 72 points to close at 11,504.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Perhaps one of the reasons the Occupy Wall Street protests have picked up so much steam is that the middle class is being squeezed in this country. So is there a country that's doing a good job when it comes to building a strong middle class? We asked Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell to look into that, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So is anybody getting it right when it comes to fostering a strong middle class?
Oh, I think there are a number of countries that are truly getting it right. The Northern European countries, Denmark, Sweden, You know, they're doing it right. They have a healthy middle class. And then there's Canada, Australia, New Zealand. They also have a much more vibrant middle class compared to the U.S.
And what is it that they're doing to get that vibrant middle class?
These are all liberal economies. These are all capitalist economies. But they have a much stronger social safety net. Big difference, for example, every citizen has health care. Another thing that they have is essentially they're fiscally conservative. I mean, I know if you look up past over their history, there have been moments where they haven't been. But it's essentially fiscally conservative societies that pay as they go. They tend to have strong unions. So with strong unions, low-income folks tend to be paid better. Middle managers tend to be paid less.
But how can you have that where you have a strong safety net and also a fiscally conservative government?
Very simple. If you look in U.S. history, Walter Mondale was a fiscal conservative. He lost to Ronald Reagan. But what he argued for is if we're going to have Social Security, if we're going to have Medicare, if we're going to have these social programs, we pay for them. That's what being socially conservative or fiscally conservative means.
But aren't we different, Chris? I mean, we're so much bigger here in the U.S. than, say, Switzerland or Norway. Doesn't that make a difference when it comes to trying to have a strong middle class?
It does, but we're not that different. Look, we're not going to have strong private sector unions in the U.S. I mean, that's what our history tells us. But what we can do is focus government policies and learn from these countries about focusing government policies to boosting the low-income folks in this country.
Marketplace Economics correspondent Chris Farrell. Chris, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, from the middle class to the top 1%, the Neiman Marcus Christmas catalog is out. And listen to some of these items up for sale. For $75,000, you can buy an 18-foot yurt. That's a tent used by nomads. And this one has down pillows and a crystal chandelier. For $425,000, you can buy a flower show tour that'll take you to Switzerland, France, and the UK by private jet. There is also a $5,000 Johnny Walker scotch tasting. I guess that's more of a stocking stuffer at that price. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In a film about the financial crisis, you might expect a good guy, that'd be us, and a bad guy, the banks. But you think a little harder, the truth is a little more nuanced.
There actually is no pure evil. Each character is simply trying to act on the information that they have before them.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, a Wall Street thriller, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.